Good morning, everyone. You will have heard the Director General and Minister Mohammed at their session minutes ago. Their statements will be available a bit later today on our website. They will disperse with having opening statements. We will go directly to your questions. While we recognize your freedom to pose any questions that you like, we would be appreciative if the questions would focus on the work of the WTO as we prepare for the ministerial conference in Nairobi. So without further ado, let's open up the floor for questions. Bryce.
Well, a meaningful outcome for me is an agreement that is doable for members, something that the members can live with, something that point us in the right direction. I have always said that this is not the end of the road. This is just one more step in the road towards trade liberalization and economic and social development. We cannot expect to solve all the problems related to trade, all the asymmetries, all the imperfections with one take, in one go. So what is meaningful is something that put us better placed for the next step.
Questions? Des questions? Jamil, I knew you were wanting to ask a question, so go ahead, yes.
So, David, a quick question on the current topic of the world economy, Greece. How do you... sorry, Keith. It's
I knew it was going to... Somehow I knew it was going to be you, Jamil.
I got it. Anyway. How do you see this affecting trade in the middle term, or having an impact even on the negotiations? Of course, not the crisis itself, but the fact that the Eurozone has now to deal with the situation that is, first of all, internally.
Well, as far as an impact on the negotiations, I can't say that I have seen any disruption yet. So the EU negotiators are still very much engaged. They have been participating in all the meetings. They have been coming up with ideas, with suggestions. So there is full engagement there. I haven't sensed any kind of disruption. As far as the impact on trade, trade, like every other economic activity, is very sensitive to operators, to economic operators, to business. And business and economic operators, they like essentially two things. They like stability and they like predictability. So to the extent that those are not present, it is reasonable to expect spillover effects on trade. And not only in that region, maybe in other regions as well. But it's very difficult to quantify. It's very difficult to assess what that impact would be. But any element of a geopolitical nature or economic nature or financial nature that affects predictability and stability tend to have an impact on trade and economic outcomes.
Gunilla, please.
I'd like to ask you too on Nairobi. Do you think, as the Doha round doesn't seem to advance very, very quickly, do you think it will be time for kind of a shift when WTO is going from the multilateral Doha-like negotiations into more plurilateral negotiations, that Nairobi will be a new starting point in a way for a shift? Thank you.
We tend to oversimplify this discussion, which is a very important one. Between multilateral understandings and plurilateral understandings, because it's not black or white. You have many shades of gray in between. Let me explain a little bit further what I'm trying to say. First, plurilaterals are not an exception. They are not a new element. They have been with us for a long time, both outside the WTO and inside the WTO. So even inside the WTO, you have the aircraft understanding, you have the government procurement agreement, You have the information technology agreement. So there are a number of plurilaterals with different formats and different nature. Some are open, others are closed. Some are MFN, others are not. So it depends, and there are still some ongoing. There's still the negotiation of the expansion of the ITA. The government procurement agreement is incorporating new members. The environmental goods agreement is under negotiation. So this is ongoing. And even when we talk about fully multilateral agreements, they don't require the same level of commitment and the same level of outcomes for all members. So to some extent, they are multilateral, but they are differentiated in the sense, for example, like the trade facilitation agreement. On the trade facilitation agreement, developed countries have to implement the provisions immediately. The developing countries have time to do that. Others have even more time and the ability to request technical cooperation in order to even begin to implement the commitments. So even a fully multilateral agreement, the commitments are differentiated among members. So, it, like I said, it's not black or white. There are many shades of gray that offer us the flexibility that we need to keep going.
Yeah, just a little follow-up. Do you still believe in the format of multilateral trade negotiations then?
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. I don't see why not. As long as the multilateral agreement takes into account and takes on board the different capacities of members to implement the agreement, as long as you understand that and that you don't try to get an agreement which is a one-size-fits-all, kind of agreement, it's perfectly doable. We have been doing this for a long time, and there is no reason why we shouldn't be able to do it.
We have time for one more question. Anyone? Yes, s'il vous plaît.
What results do you expect for this 8-4 trade conference, these 3 days? What results?
I'll say something about that, but I would also let Minister Mohammed say a little bit about that, because Africa is a big beneficiary of the Aid for Trade initiative. She has been following this since the days when she was here with us in the WTO, so she's very aware how important it is. She herself mentioned in the room how important trade facilitation is for Kenya, for example, how much of a difference it made for Kenya. And trade facilitation is just part of the Aid for Trade, which is much bigger than that. So Aid for Trade, we're talking about projects that deal even with infrastructure and goes all the way to the soft technical cooperation kind of projects. So it is a very important event that we are having. For me, the most important part of this is the moment for two things. One, to take a look at what we did. Is what we were doing showing results? Are we on the spot, or are we missing something? Are there shortcomings? Are we being inefficient? If so, why are we being inefficient? And to have that kind of exercise, you need the people who operate and manage these efforts. And they go from donors to beneficiaries to international organizations, regional development banks, at all levels there. Not only at the technical level, the people who get their hands dirty doing the thing, but also at the political level. Because if the two don't talk to each other, we're lost. It just doesn't work. And I'm happy to say that we had all of those here. At all levels, and that for me is very important. And the second thing is that we are in a position also to plan for the future. So not only do we identify what we did, not only do we check on whether we are on the ball or not, we also plan for the future. We also deepen the partnerships. I was very happy, for example, to have here the president of the World Bank. And we had a very good conversation. We launched a report which is very critical, which is about trade helping the elimination of extreme poverty. We had the president of the Asian Development Bank, Nakao-san, was here. We also had a very good, not only in the meeting, but outside the meeting. We sit down, we talk, we plan, we exchange views. For trade facilitation, for example, the trade facilitation agreement, we had a very good conversation with both banks in terms of the partnership that is needed to implement the technical cooperation that is required by the agreement itself. So I'm very happy, very, very happy with what we have achieved so far. We also had a chance to talk about Nairobi, and Minister Mohamed is here precisely to help me with that. This is something that we are both with the same goals, to make Nairobi, as we said before, a lion roar success. So, Minister, maybe you want to compliment.
You know, I think you've actually said everything that needs to be said. You know, it's 10 years since 8 for Trade was launched. I think it's a good time to actually take a hard look at where we are, right? Take stock, see what we have done right, and there's a lot that has been done right. See where the challenges are, and then together start planning the way forward, addressing the challenges that we may have faced, improving the systems that we have used, maybe putting new mechanisms into place, looking at the resource package that has been provided, and seeing whether that's adequate, you know, or not. Aid for Trade was embraced. It was embraced by everybody, mm-hmm. you know, the beneficiaries, you know, but also, you know, the institutions that you've talked about that have come in and supported developing countries and LDCs, you know, to ensure that they're able to actually implement the commitments and the obligations that they took on. So I think 10 years is a good time to actually sit back and say, okay, we launched this, and is it working? If it is, how well is it working? If it isn't, what should we do? How should we improve it? How should we make it work better? How should we make it actually benefit more countries, more people, and more institutions? And today we were able to see this video, you know, that you prepared, that the WTO Secretary prepared. And if you watched it, you actually saw, and I referred to it in my speech, you saw that this had an impact at the lowest levels of society. At the most vulnerable levels of society, it makes a difference. It has made a difference. No, but how can we improve it? What else do we need to do, right, to make sure that it reaches actually a wider, broader, you know, scope of the population, the populations that we are that we hope to actually favorably impact. The populations whose livelihoods we want to improve, whose welfare we've been thinking about and we thought about when we launched Aid for Trade, 10 years ago. I congratulated the WTO and the Director General in the room, and honestly, I think that they've done a remarkable job with Aid for Trade. And I just want to urge them to continue working hard on it to just make sure that it delivers for more people. Yeah. Let me also say this, that on Nairobi, I think we've expressed ourselves many times before. We hope that we won't have a business as usual conference. Roberto has worked very, very hard. I've urged member states to ensure that they give him the space, the flexibility, and the tools that he needs to deliver for all of us. He's the only one who is capable of delivering for all of us, but he cannot do it if he doesn't have the full support of the membership of the organization and of all of us. So, again, in the room, I pleaded that we actually allow him to do that. Time is of the essence. We don't have much time left. Nairobi cannot be a place where we go and start negotiating, provisions that will go into different instruments. It has to be a place where we actually meet and put the final I's and dot the final I's and cross the final T's. So I am actually wishing Roberto all the best. I am pledging my full support. And, whenever you need it, please feel free to call for it. And if you need me to continue talking about the kind of support that you need from everybody else, please let me also know. But Nairobi has to be, as you've said, a roaring success. It's the first WTO ministerial in Africa. Africa wants MC10 to deliver for Africa as well, so that the benefits are shared across the world. Africa expects this to be a different kind of ministerial conference. So I'm wishing all of us wonderful luck, and and Roberto, many sleepless nights.
Minister, Director General, thank you very much.
Let me just, because I don't want to be amiss of one important component here, I think I mentioned en passant, which is the donors. But they are also here for this conference. And just yesterday, I had the opportunity to sign with the representatives from Sweden a donation of 5 million Swiss francs to the STDF. That is a very generous contribution. We're very happy with the support given by Sweden to this. And I hope that that inspires the other donors as well. Everybody's doing their bit, but I'm very happy with the kind of engagement and conversation that we had with that particular donor, and the donors are very much engaged in making everything that we do here a success. So I'm happy with that.
Talk. Thank you all very much. Thank you very much. We'll see you, of course, during the course of the day.